Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the show. It is the final day of the fiscal year, midway point in the calendar year. It is the 30th of June, 2015, a Tuesday, and we hope you're having a good week so far. We're coming to you live from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream our show at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com, which is also the place for all of our podcasts and all of our archived shows available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin with a conversation about the Arizona economy on this last day of the fiscal year. Then at 20 past the hour, it's our Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. 12:30 coming up, Dr. Mark Stegeman, board member of the TUSD governing body. Then we'll close out the show talking about an election that will be coming up in Oro Valley. It will be a recall election. The live line number is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster if you would join in or like to join in anytime during the hour. Let's go now to the live line in Phoenix. Garrick Taylor is with us. Mr. Taylor, Senior Vice President of Governmental Relations and Communications for the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Garrick, how are you?
Thanks for having me on. Doing well.
Well, Arizona got some good news, some unexpectedly good news, on track to end the fiscal year with $250 million more in the bank than expected. So that sets the stage for a battle over whether or not to spend the windfall or save it. Garrick, what do you think we should do with the money?
Well, Bill, as you know, we emerged from a legislative session where the governor and legislature, they had to make some tough decisions in the budget. You might use the word austere. So there are some signs of life now in this economy as we look at some of these new revenue figures. As far as the chamber's concerns about what to do with the money, we would expect that going into the next legislative session, you might see some upticks in some areas of spending. One of those areas could be education. You've seen the governor has already proposed to send to voters the question of whether we should tap into the state land trust corpus. So we may have, in this past fiscal year budget that we just passed, we may have hit we may have bottomed out, and we might start to be seeing some upticks in state spending categories.
Has the chamber taken a position on the governor's proposal to dip into the state land trust?
Well, we haven't taken a formal position. It's something that, as we assess the different ballot measures that will hit the ballot, we'll be doing that soon enough. However, Bill, I don't think that I'd be breaking news or getting too far out ahead of my board in that. I think early signs are that we're positively disposed to it. These are assets that were, after all, intended for education. And if we can do what the governor's proposing, if we can do it in a smart, prudent way, we could tap into those assets, fund education. It's an area we all agree is a priority for funding, and still maintain the healthy balance in the state land trust, then it's an idea that we believe has a lot of merit.
Garrick Taylor with us from the Arizona Chamber on the live line. This was not good news about Arizona faring very poorly on CNBC's list of top states to do business. In fact, Arizona dropped 21 spots in the annual ranking of the best places, the best states for business. Your reaction, Garrick?
Look, there's all sorts of rankings out there that use all sorts of different methodologies. The CNBC rankings, that's just one of them. If you look at CEO Magazine, another respected publication, we, for the past several years, have scored in the top 10, and we continue to climb up the charts. The Kaufman Index of Entrepreneurial Activity, also, we rank very high. Forbes projected job growth list, Arizona does very well. So there are plenty of rankings out there where Arizona is extremely competitive. And I think you can give a lot of credit to the governor and legislature for staying focused on increasing Arizona's competitive standing, making us as best in class in areas like taxes, our regulatory state, our legal environment, which means a good tort environment. All of these things are things that businesses look at when they consider a future investment. And also, we are really making progress, I believe, in our education.
Let's go now to the live line. Matthew has called us at 790-2040. He has a question or comment for Garrick Taylor. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah. Hey, Garrick, I think the chamber would agree that the state took a hit in its standings nationally because of education funding. Given that situation, and given the current situation regarding one of our real premier educational JTET activities here in the state, which has been a tremendous success, would the chamber endorse the governor having a special session and addressing the funding on JTET? I think it would serve the governor well to address that before the next legislative year and show positivity towards the state. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Matt, you know, JTEDs are something that Arizona's employers believe are critical to the development of our talent pipeline and our workforce development. There are folks that come out of JTED programs that are ready for careers, high-paying ones, and we want to work towards an educational system that prepares our K-12 students not only for college but for career as well, and the JTEDs are critical there. Now, I know the JTED debate is really running hot and heavy in Pima County. Emerging from the latest legislative session, there were some hits to the JTED system that were in many ways unexpected. The chamber believes that we need to solidify the JTED system in college and career and technical education overall. Now, whether that means a special session, that might be a little ambitious to say that at this point, but you never know if that'll hit the agenda. But I think going forward, especially in the next legislative session, I think that JTEDs are going to be a major topic of conversation.
Yeah, we had Dr. Alan Storm, Garrick, who heads up the JTED program here in Pima County, on yesterday, and he was advocating certainly that the lawmakers take a look early on in the session about restoring some funding to JTED. He also was calling for a special session, but whether or not that will happen, who knows.
Right.
But I agree with you, Garrick. That is going to be one of the major items when the lawmakers resume in January. Garrick, I noticed that the chamber has taken a position against the legalization of recreational marijuana. Some of your thoughts on that, please.
That's right. Bill, as you know, medical marijuana, that discussion is largely settled in Arizona, though I suppose there's still some discussion surrounding its implementation. But recreational marijuana in the minds of the business community, that is another matter entirely. And you're right, the chamber is going to oppose the legalization efforts ahead of the 2016 ballot question. You got to remember that the experiment of recreational marijuana, the legalization of recreational marijuana, it's still very much in its infancy nationwide in various jurisdictions. Where is the rush for Arizona to dive headlong into this legalization? We really don't know how this is going to shake out or how it's shaking out around the country. And after all, the next occupant of the White House in January 2017 could dramatically change the landscape of the way marijuana is treated. Some of these jurisdictions that have legalized marijuana could find themselves suddenly dealing with a federal government that's going to look much more harshly upon their experiment than the current administration. Also have concerns about the potency of the drug and the message it sends to our youth and how it affects the talent pipeline for tomorrow's jobs. Bill, this is recreational marijuana. It's not medical marijuana. So it's simply about people who want to get high, and you know, that's putting it bluntly. But the question is, should we be calibrating a sweeping public policy decision around people who want to get high? And so far, our answer has been no.
All right. I've only got about a minute left, Garrick. So getting back to the conclusion here of this fiscal year as we launch into a new year tomorrow. Actually, today has 1 second. Today will be 1 second longer. So make sure we all are very productive with that extra 1 second. So generally, Garrick, the mood of Arizona business, as far as from your point of view, what your members are saying as we go into that new fiscal year.
Things look bright. The economic analyses that we've seen said that we can expect, while not it's not going to be a runaway train of growth. Things look pretty steady, as well as going into the next calendar year. So we're encouraged by that, and we believe we've got an economic environment in Arizona that is encouraging to job growth. We stack up pretty well in our region and nationally.
Okay, Garrick, thank you very much. Folks can find out more about your work and the work of your colleagues at the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry by going to your website, and I believe it is azchamber.com. Is that correct, Garrick?
That's right. Thanks for the plug, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and hope you have a great 4th of July weekend coming up. Thanks, Garrick.
Thank you.
All right, Garrick Taylor with the Arizona Chamber. We're at 12:15. On this Tuesday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to be talking about, well, what else? The big story about Greece, the big referendum, is coming up on Sunday. So it's going to be make it or break it for the Euro and Greece, I think, this Sunday. We'll hear what Shelley Fishman has to say right after this. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Also, our nutrition reporter Jack Challum will be answering your health and wellness questions. Buckmaster airs noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we welcome now Shelley Fishman, who is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. I believe he's in Phoenix at an investor meeting. Shelley, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty well. And of course, Greece is still very much in the focus. This may be coming to a head with Sunday's key referendum on what the Greek people want to do about the future of their country economically. Yesterday, the big sell-off, the biggest drop in 2 years on the Dow. I had hoped that the market had pretty much built in a lot of the issues with Greece, but I guess that wasn't the case.
Well, no, it wasn't, and that's because nobody anticipated this referendum. very interesting kind of approach, and it's not just the referendum on terms of a potential extension of and relaxation of some of the debt obligations of Greece, but ultimately, if the Greek public decides to accept it, it really is a rejection of the government, and the government would fall, and there'd be new elections for a new government. So I think that kind of uncertainty just took everybody by surprise. There were also some pretty aggressive statements on the part of the finance ministers of Germany and Denmark, and those things just spooked everybody. A little bit of recovery today, but as I noticed as we reach the end of the afternoon, even that is headed back down toward flat. So hard to say where this is going to go. Nothing fundamentally has changed about the economies of Greece or Europe or the United States, so it's something that we just have to ride through, I think.
Now, Shelley, if a no vote comes in, this would pretty much guarantee the end of the Greek people being as part of the Eurozone. Is that correct?
No, not necessarily. There are some people who think that there is a way that Greece could default and at the same time stay in the euro. I don't understand how that could happen, but from the things I've been reading and hearing from the various fund managers who talk about these problems, that could happen. Also, keep in mind that the referendum that the Greeks are going to be voting on, the terms actually come to an end at the end of today. So they're voting on something that doesn't really exist. So this is kind of more of a no confidence or a confidence vote. And as we talked about last week and probably several times in the past, just because there's a kind of date certain for things to happen doesn't mean that things actually do happen on that date. I think there'll be continuing discussions. There are certainly dangers out there that we haven't anticipated, like what would happen if China or Russia were to step in and help the Greek government out. Not too likely that would happen, I think, because of Greeks' affinity for Western Europe. But nevertheless, all of that kind of thing makes it hard to kind of noodle through what would happen if all of a sudden Greece were to begin to issue drachmas or IOUs to their people, which essentially would be drachmas. How would they be valued? Who would care about what the value that the Greek government sets on them would be, and wouldn't they start being discounted in the marketplace in general? So the pain for the Greek citizenry in the short term, should that happen, would be very, very great. But there's been some analysis that says that in the longer term, it might give them some greater control of their economy.
Well, you certainly have to sympathize with the people over in Greece, but about here at home, for the American investor, Shelley Fishman, this is a really frustrating time.
Right. It demonstrates just how tied and how linked in we are with the rest of the world, and how there's just no denying it. I mean, if you're going to be in any way active in financial markets as an investor, and there's really very little you can do to avoid that, or you shouldn't really want to avoid it, then you just have to ride through these things and understand that we're part of one world now. And when, you know, we used to say that when the United States sneezes, Europe catches cold. Well, you know, it turns out that works in both directions.
So what should we be doing? What should American investors be doing right now? Just wait, just kind of wait, see what happens?
Well, yeah. I mean, what we have to do is, again, evaluate your own particular individual situation to make sure that you're properly allocated to avoid the kind of volatility that would be absolutely critically dangerous to you if, for instance, you're in retirement and you're using your funds right now. So if you're using your investments right now, you want to avoid volatility at all costs. And you know, given the uncertainty about interest rates here in the United States and what's going on in Europe, you probably want to be in things that are very stable. And, you know, those things would be short-term treasuries or the equivalent cash-type instruments. On the other hand, if you're in it for investment over a longer period of time, several years or more, then you just kind of sit tight and realize that these things pass by, the markets continue, and you have to be able to kind of stomach the ups and downs of this roller coaster.
Well, for the downside, there's always the downside. And for the upside, for folks who think, well, maybe this is a buying opportunity.
Well, that's exactly right, Bill. and when you get the market going down 2% in a day, if you're sitting there with an appropriate amount of cash, then you might find that as a perfectly good time to take some of that cash and buy stuff that's on sale. And, you know, we saw some of that happen yesterday, and we saw a little bit of a recovery today. I'm not suggesting that you try to time the market that way, but buying on weakness, which is kind of a term of art that investors use, is a tried and true method of taking advantage of these down days and essentially expanding your portfolio at a lower price on Tuesday than, say, on Monday.
Shelley, today is the end of the fiscal year. How are we doing so far at the midpoint in the calendar year?
Well, we're about flat. We've lost the gains that we had, and there's nothing sacred about the end of the second quarter. It's just that as we close out the second quarter now and look back, we find that despite very strong economic gains, the financial markets and the equity markets have kind of given back pretty much everything that they had. I mean, as of last week, things look really good and optimistic. As of this week, they don't. But next week, who knows? I'm going to kind of cancel the celebration over the mid-year and continue into the third quarter, where I'm still kind of confident that Europe will figure this out, that they'll figure it out in the time frames of maybe August and September. I don't believe we're going to get any major moves by the Fed in that time frame. And certainty will, there's never certainty in the market, but the high degrees of uncertainty that we've seen will be reduced. Now, that might be a Pollyanna-ish optimistic view, but that is my view, and I can tell you it's the view of most of the analysts that I've been listening to over the past couple of months.
Okay, Shelley, I'm going to let you go, but before I do, we're coming up on the 4th of July holiday. The federal holiday is Friday, so that means the market, I assume, will be closed then on Friday. So we'll have basically a couple of days here where I assume you think things will kind of be flat as we wait to see the outcome of the election in Athens and in Greece on Sunday.
I think that's right. It's not clear to me how quickly they'll get all of that counted. Mm-hmm. And it's not clear to me that there'll be such a heavy preponderance of the vote one way or the other that they won't have to take all the time they need to make sure they understand exactly what that vote is. The good news is it's not very detailed. It's yes or no.
Shelley, thank you very much, and we hope you have a great 4th of July Independence Day celebration coming up, Shelley.
You too, Bill. I look forward to seeing you in person on Tuesday.
And to get more about Shelley Fishman, the best place, go to the Buckmaster Show website. There is a link to Shelley there that you can get in touch with him, and he's very good about returning all calls. Thanks, Shelley.
Yes.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Stegeman joins us now from the TUSD Governing Board. Dr. Stegeman, how are you?
Doing well, Bill. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, you have, this is the first time you've been on the show other than you made a phone call into the show when Adelita Grijalva was here, but we've had, since you've been interviewed face-to-face with me, this is the first time since we had Crystal Foster, your colleague, on. We had Adelita Grijalva and most recently Cam Juarez. Tell me, are there some things that just jump out at you that you would like to clarify and perhaps correct with our listeners today?
Well, there are. and I made lists of about a dozen, I think, things that were misstatements. Some of them are going back a little bit earlier, but I think that the context is that we have, in policy, we have a board ethics policy, and HT was on earlier this year and said we don't have a board ethics policy, but we do. And BDAA, that's the policy, anyone can look it up, says any dissent on an issue will be constructive. Any debate, though intense, will be civil and focused solely on issues. That's been board policy for years. And what concerns me is how often when things heat up, the discussion gets diverted into a personal attack of some kind and goes off the issue. And that does not help the district. That does not help the board. And then, of course, when it's false, that's just twice as worse. And some of these statements are provably false.
Okay, well, let's hear some of them.
Well, Ms. Foster, she came on the show and criticized me personally and said I've misrepresented various facts. And all those facts were true, actually. The fact that administrators are up while teachers and other personnel are down, that's in our external audit. Anybody can look it up online. Administrators have gone up 20% just in the past year, and they've gone up 36% number of administrators in the past 4 years. And that's what Heinfeld Meach said. That's not my number. I said that our school grades have got, more schools have gone down than up the last time we were evaluated, which was HT's first full year. And they said that's a misrepresentation. And Cammy said, you know, that's not true. They've gone up. And you can go on the ADE website and see that we had 26 schools go down and 16 go up. And I like I say, I'm not here to talk about the negativity, but it's a very unfortunate thing when people say things that just aren't true. And then the public, you know, tends to believe it. And
do you think the board majority is characterizing you? They're not, they would never say so, but that you are a troublemaker.
Well, I certainly think so. Someone, who is pretty liberal, I think, said to me the other day that you are their public enemy number one. And it's okay to disagree on policy. I mean, that's fine. But when the attacks become personal, and especially when they're not true, you know, as when Ms. Foster says I misrepresented things, but everything I said is actually provably true, that's really destructive to the board and destructive to the district. And she criticized my statement that enrollment is we're still in enrollment spiral. And it's true. It's improved a little bit over the trend, but it hasn't improved that much. And so, again, that can be documented from our demographic study.
What were some of the other things in some of the other interviews? Well, Adelita, you did call the program. You wanted to challenge her on, I forget what the issue was.
Well, it was about the salary increase, okay, which okay. She said I'd misrepresented, and I don't think I did. I sent a letter to my list. I think all of my numbers are exactly accurate. And she said the important point was that the salary for next year was always going to be high because that's how we negotiated at the beginning, and that is factually correct. But the issue has always been with this, that since the salary was already high, why did you basically add $95,000 on top of it, right? And she didn't address that, and I don't think there's any misrepresentation there. That's what people don't understand, especially when retention isn't an issue for next year. No one's going to make Sanchez an offer now to be superintendent in 5 weeks, right? That's just not going to happen. I mean, retention isn't an issue for this year. So why did you add $95,000 to that? And I don't, as I say, I'm not trying to litigate that issue here, but what I'm concerned about is when they make a charge and say I by name and misrepresenting things. And I don't think I've misrepresented anything. HT was on earlier in the year.
He was on, his most recent visit was April 31st. He'll be on in the coming weeks. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, on February, and I...
Oh, then there was the earlier...
He said that I had told a lie, and I think he said that on another radio show, and I think he said that before he had even heard it. And I sent him an email after that, and I said, tell me where the lie is. And I asked on air where his lie. I never got a response to that because I don't think I told a lie. I think we have an open meeting law issue, and I'm going to try to get some legal advice on that particular one. Certainly not a lie. And so that's a very destructive thing for the superintendent to say about a board member.
Yeah. Well, let's take a call here, and then we'll go back to your litany
of issues with the board.
I don't mean it to sound like a litany.
All right, let's go. It's like a fact check.
Let's call it a fact check.
All right. Steve is with us. Steve, go ahead. You're with Dr. Mark Stegeman.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, well, thanks.
Curious, these two schools that were opened up for preschools in these two grammar schools on either side of town, obviously they're not paying for themselves. I mean, you drive by and you go in them, they don't have but 120 kids in there or something like that. The money, I'm assuming, was supposed to come from a federal grant, of which I found out that it's not. Basically, are we paying for these people? Are we paying for these kids to go?
Yes, we are. That was going to be funded out of DSEG, and that didn't work, and it was going to be funded out of a grant, and that didn't work. So it's being funded out of our main budget, and they're running at a loss. Originally, it was about $100,000 a month. Now, I got recently heard a different figure that it's less than that.
But we are actually paying for people's pre-age school kids to go to school, to go to preschool.
Right, and we've opened it up to everybody. So we're basically running a private business, competing with the private sector. And actually, I don't necessarily.
In state law?
Well, it's not what we are intended to use our education dollars for. We're certainly not intended to use our K-12 dollars to subsidize a loss-making private business.
Well, that, what I want to know, is it against the law?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Because it's a good question. Why should we pay for our neighbors' kids to go to preschool?
Okay. Well, you're going to check in on that, Dr. Stegeman.
Yeah, that's one of I probably should have asked that question before. It's a long list of questions, but those things are unambiguously running at a loss, and I don't think that's where we're supposed to be spending our money.
Okay. We're quickly running out of time, but I want to go back to your fact checks. Do you have some others that you'd like to bring up?
Well,
or have you pretty much covered
No. There's probably won't get through the whole list here.
Yeah, well, give us a couple quick ones.
Well, Ms. Grijalva earlier this year said that he would say, this is a quote, Dr. Stegeman would go straight to the state with concerns, to the Auditor General, to the Superintendent of Public Instruction, without letting any of us know what the concern is. I want to know when that happened. During all the Superintendent of Public Instruction, if she's talking about the MAS stuff, I might have in that whole thing had one conversation with John Hoopenthal, which I think is not surprising. During all the early stages, I deliberately stayed away from the Department of Education. As far as I know, I have never contacted the Auditor General about anything. I mean, I could, but actually, I don't think I have. So, where does this stuff come from? I mean, tell me what date. When did that happen? And this is what concerns me, is this pattern, just unsubstantiated allegations. On the internal auditor, they kept saying, I mean, the superintendent and members of the Ms. Grijalva. Now, Mr. Juarez did not say this, I will say. But they were saying that I had changed the proposal from what we had negotiated. And there's an email public record that shows that that's not true. There were changes from Mr. Juarez, and there were changes from the attorney, which I agreed with. But actually, of the thing that went to the board, none of the substantive changes had come from me. And Dr. Sanchez said, well, he posted things on Facebook that were contradictory to the agreement. Well, I made one post on Facebook, and anybody can read it because I don't post privately on Facebook. I don't post much anyway, but what I post is private. Anybody can go read it, and it basically says, great, we reached an agreement, and I congratulate Mr. Juarez for stepping up.
Now, were you surprised that when the contract for Dr. Sanchez was presented to you that there would be a vote on it that very night?
I was somewhat surprised, but it was agendized in an interesting way. It was agendized. All it said was superintendent's contract. That's all I knew about. It was two words, literally. But it wasn't agendized as study action. It was agendized as action, which means they expected a vote. And so then I'm thinking, oh, boy, this is strange. But that's what happened.
You were not prepared to vote either way?
Well, if there had been an extension with no raise, or where the compensation, say, was the average of the last 3 years, I might well have voted for it because I think the stability is important. But although I had concerns about the speed, but given the fact that there was this huge raise, huge increase in compensation, I just couldn't vote for that. So I felt stuck and I abstained, and I've taken some heat for that. People say, why didn't you vote no? And maybe I could have, but I was kind of stuck because I didn't want to send the signal that I wanted a new superintendent search. And so I was kind of stuck between two issues. And so I wimped out.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to wrap it up.
Yeah,
do you want to make an appeal to your colleagues for everybody to try to get along?
Well, I think, and I've been saying this for years, if we would just take the single step of mm-hmm. talking about issues
right.
and not talking about personalities, and especially being very important with our facts. And Mr. Juarez made a statement in his interview that they've tried to have conversations. He said,
quickly,
I'm frustrated that I can't have a decent conversation with them, with me and Mr. Hicks. Well, I repeatedly, when he came on the board, tried to sit down for a private conversation, and he always declined.
Are you going to try to ask him right now?
I'd be happy to sit down with any board member anytime. Ms. Foster has refused to meet with me privately since for almost a year and a half.
Why don't you ask her right now?
If she's listening, that invitation's always open. So if they say they've tried, I'm not sure exactly how that has manifested itself. But I want to, again, give Mr. Juarez credit for sitting down with me in the internal auditor. Even in the end, he sort of backed off his vote. Yeah. I still really appreciate that he did take that step.
Dr. Stegeman, thank you very much. I hope you have a great 4th of July.
Sorry, TUSD has a lot of great things going
on. Oh, I know.
But
well, I wanted to give you the opportunity to come on and do your little fact check, and it's important.
I think it's a big fact check, actually.
But well, anyway. Big fact check, whatever it is. It's a fact check, and you're certainly entitled to come on the program, as are any of the board members
Absolutely.
To have their say here on the show.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back. Thanks, Mark.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We go sailing away to Silver City in Grant County. It would be a great weekend getaway. They're having a big 4th of July celebration over there. It's a great climate. It's 6,000 feet elevation, some areas around town, 7,000 feet. That means very nice, cool evenings and warm days. They've had some rain over there. It's really beautiful in Silver City, and there's so much to do. You can go hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and of course there's the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is just north of Silver City. But you can find out about the many places, great places to stay, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Georgetown Cabins, by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Dr. Ryan Hartung. Is it Hartung?
It is, like the two body parts.
Hartung, who is the chair for the recall group up in Oro Valley. That group has submitted signatures that will, in effect, recall or have a recall election for the mayor.
Correct.
Mayor Hiermath, and mm-hmm. three of the council members.
Correct, yes.
So this is a community of 40,000 people, Oro Valley, and many of the people listening to this program probably don't live in Oro Valley, and they probably really don't know what is at stake here and why people that don't live in Oro Valley should care about this. What do you say to those people?
Well, I think what's going on in Oro Valley is kind of indicative of what we see in the rest of the country. We see public officials behaving in a way that we don't really want them representing us. You see kind of what you would describe as maybe backhanded deals and not fiscally sound decisions, which I think is a huge topic in just American culture and in the world in general. If we look at Greece today, not being fiscally sound is not a good place to be, because the next 2007, 2008, that could happen at any time. And if you are over leveraged or you're not paying your bills, you risk a big problem.
So who are the players now in this?
So we have recalled Mayor Hiermath, and then you have the three council members also, and their recall is final. It will happen on November 3rd, the same day we all vote for the bond, and that is Mary Snyder, Lou Waters, and Joe Hornat. The petitions for the mayor there with the county recorder, they have 60 days to verify the signatures, and depending on when they turn those in, because they can do that, they can do that before the end of the 60 days, and that will determine if his election is either in November of this year or March of next year.
So the mayor and these three these town council members are the folks who voted for the deal on the recreation center.
Yes, yes. So it was. There are probably four or five different reasons why people are all very upset. One of this is they campaigned last year and won in their reelection. But while they were doing that, this was going on behind the scenes. None of us knew about this golf course and this going on. And this was helped out with a company called HSL. The four individuals took over $15,000 in donations from this company. And then this deal came out with this company where they were going to buy the golf course and a clubhouse, which they want to turn into a community center, for $1 million, which is $2 million lower than what it's really worth. But that's because the golf course had been bleeding money for the past 5 years, and the Hilton wanted to get rid of it. So they found four council people that were willing to do it. And what they did was they basically brought it up on December 3rd, and they voted on it December 17th without letting Oro Valley people have their say, and that really, really bothered a lot of people in Oro Valley. And then on top of that, they also added a half-cent sales tax without any sunset clause, and that's supposed to be going just towards the community center. But already, they're projecting for the first year of ownership it to be losing around $1.5 million.
This was to buy, and they did buy, the El Conquistador Country Club, and to increase, as you say, the sales tax by a half cent to raise money for the renovation projects to turn it into a community center and a new recreation center. So what's wrong with doing that? What's wrong with having a new community center and recreation center?
There's nothing wrong with having a new community center and recreation center. The problem is this isn't new. This is a golf clubhouse that they're going to retrofit. It's 30 years old. It has half the usable space, if less than half the usable space of what the originally intended new one was supposed to have, which was going to be built at Naranja Park. And for the $8 million, $10 million they're going to put in for whatever restoration, you could have built a brand new one for the same amount of money for twice, and which would have twice usable space. So that's just another reason why people are unhappy with this.
Now, you're a candidate as well?
I am. The recall process is basically done now that all the petitions have turned in, and I and two others have come forth as candidates.
And Who are the others?
There is a Cheryl LaManna, mm-hmm. and then there also is Steve Didio.
So this, you're indicating to me that they kind of were taking money from these three councilmen and the mayor took for their reelection campaign. They took money from this group that was pushing this sale.
That is correct.
Is that what you're alleging?
There's no alleging about it. They took the money. Did that influence their decision? I can't say. But it has the look of being improper and unethical.
And so where you say that the three council members, town council members that are being recalled will go against you and two others, and that will be in November. That election has been set.
Yes.
But as far as Mayor Hiermath, that could be pushed back
to
March?
Yes, depending on how long the county recorder takes to verify the signatures. Unlike referendums and whatever, for a recall, the county recorder verifies every single signature. So it's a time-consuming process.
So the council members and the mayor, and we've interviewed the mayor. I haven't interviewed the council members, but the mayor indicated that he felt this was a very good deal for Oro Valley.
Well, you know, when you look at 45 holes of golf and a clubhouse for $1 million, that really is a good deal. Mm-hmm. It's the problem is what it all brings with it. If you're bringing you pay $1 million and you start making money right away off that golf course, that's great. But now that $1 million you paid, that's now going to force us into debt with this golf course. He cannot deny that it is losing over $1 million within its first year. That right there, now it takes it to $2 million. Okay, and if you count the sales tax, that adds another $2 million. Okay, so it's just kind of this money pit where if we would have just followed the general plan, which they don't like to do, you can look at the apartments on Oracle, that's part of it. We would have just had our own clubhouse, and this would have never been an issue. Or even if, you know what, if the referendum had gone through and people had had a chance to vote, this would not be an issue. We didn't want to take it to a recall. You know, personally, myself, I'm young. I have a family. I have other things in my life I want to do. But I just see this being such an issue for Oro Valley. I felt it was something I had to do.
All right. Let's see if we can get a quick comment in here. A caller, I believe Jeff, would like to speak with Dr. Ryan Hartung. Go ahead, Jeff.
I want to talk about the comment he made about the paying $1 million for the whole thing and it's worth $3 million. If HSL could have sold it for $3 million, I think they would have. I think we overpaid by $1 million.
Me too.
Okay, so what's the urgency? Thank you, Jeff, for calling. Why not just wait till these council people, their term is up?
Well, that would have been okay, but the problem was that this was working on behind the scenes while they were being reelected, and they were just reelected. Mm-hmm. So now that's 3 years of pouring money into this golf course and this clubhouse, which they want to call a community center. And I agree, Oro Valley needs one. This is not the place for it, though. However, by doing that for the next 3 years, I don't know, $6 to $8 million is going to get sunk in there while we're pulling money out of the general fund and other funds to keep our budget what they call balance, which is
Have the renovations begun?
I think there's been some added signs throughout there, but not the major renovations. It's not ADA compliant. It has a 30-year-old roof. It has old AC units. So there's a lot of money that's going to have to be put in there.
All right. Dr. Ryan Hartung, who chairs the recall group. He's also a candidate in the recall election. Thank you very much, doctor, for being on us. Are you a physician or are you...
I have my PhD in organic chemistry.
Oh.
I'm in the pharma.
Okay. So you work and live and work in Oro Valley.
That is correct.
Okay. Dr. Hartung, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. We have Mike Shaw for Tucson at 4. Mike Shaw from 4 to 5 as local talk continues here on KVOI AM 1030. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. That show 6 to 8. And then The Daily Double with Christy Simone and a different guest host every day on Chris's show from 8 to 9. Ed Alexander will be behind the glass for those 3 hours in the morning. Then Ed sticks around, and we're glad he does, for the Buckmaster Show at 12:04. Until then, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.
Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.